Association and IndieBirth.com. No material on this podcast should be considered medical advice. Birth is not a medical event.
Welcome to IndieBirth's series of podcasts here on iTunes, Taking Back Birth. Hi everyone, Maren here with a really fun and amazing guest that I have been trying to get on a podcast for quite a while now. Really excited to welcome Nicole Shapiro, and I'll tell you in a minute what we're going to talk about, but wanted to give you a little background here before Nicole starts talking. Her bio reads, Nicole helps you dive into your body to find your own best expert for your own best life. She combines a lifetime of hands-on bodywork experience with her Columbia University pre-medical and cultural anthropology studies. She is a second-generation grassroots organizer, educator, and bodyworker. Nicole finds some of her greatest personal growth through her 20-year relationship with her husband and through consciously parenting two powerhouse daughters. Welcome, Nicole. That's a really fun bio. I love it.
You know, people want these concise bios. I'm like, okay, let me figure out how to smoosh it all together.
Yeah. Well, it's brilliant because I think it's really enticing. Everybody's wondering now what we're going to actually talk about.
Where shall we start?
Where shall we start? Well, where shall we start? Well, many of you, I think it's safe to say, already know of Nicole, are aware of her work. She has several different websites. And the reason I've been trying to get her to talk with me is because I came across her holistic peer counseling program. So I think we're going to try and focus on that today, although I definitely don't want to kind of belittle all of her amazing other work that we're probably not going to get to today. Nicole's really well known for talking about the role of our sexual health and sexual shame in the birthing process. And that alone could be, and I'm sure is, like, you know, a course in and of itself. So that's a little bit more about your bio, but let's talk about this holistic peer counseling program. What is it? How did you come up with it? Just give us the lowdown.
So my mom's been a teacher for decades, right? I mean, I grew up essentially in a massage school because it was just me and my mom for the most part. And that's, you know, that was her business. So yeah. That's pretty much where I was. And I had anticipated birth to be, you know, an extension of what I understood about being in my body. And my first birth, which was in a hospital in New York City, wasn't. And I was very confused. I also, you know, we all have to rebel. And when you're brought up very alternative, my form of rebelling was to go try and be mainstream.
Oh no, that's my worst fear.
So, you know, I wasn't thinking I was going to follow in my mother's footsteps. And that's part of going to Manhattan and Columbia. Yeah. And I say that I spent like 15 years learning how you know, the other part of the world understands humanity. So anyway, it was in preparation for my second birth that it all really, I mean, a number of things happened. And one of those things was a teacher here in Seattle, Terry Chalky, who teaches a lot about sexuality. Was actually selling me her class, Clitoral Revelations, and in the process of selling it to me, she realized who I was and what I knew, and she looked at me and asked me if I would teach it with her.
Oh, cool.
But there was magic in the request, you know. It was like, it felt as though the universe was looking at me and saying, okay, Nicole.
Here you go.
You've had your fun. Come back home. It's time for you to, you know, take all the really amazing things that growing up the way that I grew up gave me and mature them and move into really following in my mother's footsteps. Yeah. So you know, this was all mingled with me integrating sexuality more and how I prepared for my second birth. And it was, I started, you know how it is when you're pregnant, you're just like a creativity machine, you know, totally. It's just like, oh, and all the solutions and all the things. So I pretty quickly started seeing this program, which was my first program, the Embodied Birth Program. Mm-hmm. And part of what I knew needed to be there, and this is both from a bodywork awareness, you know, holistic bodywork awareness perspective, and also from my mom had been a doula for a number of years and a doula trainer, and I had heard all the trauma stories, right? I mean, again, it's me and my mom. So I hear what happens in my mom's life. Yeah. And so, you know, I knew that there was all this trauma, and I knew that a number of these really incredible women who had been supporting women in hospital births over and over and over again were not willing to go into the hospital anymore. And I was like, that's a problem.
And you know, so did your mom, was she attending hospital births, or what was she doing birthwise?
You know, she was a doula in Honolulu. And so, you know, whoever was wanted to hire her. So Yeah, the majority of those are going to be in the hospital, right? Mm-hmm. And I would say that there was more sort of, you know, the doula world has morphed and fragmented as it has over time. Sure. And I definitely feel like she and Barbara Essman, who was they used to train doulas together, like they were definitely these like older hippie women that felt like birth should ultimately be what happens in Ina May's books. And here they were walking into these hospital settings. So there was some antagonistic feelings, I think. And the result was that both of them were feeling like they couldn't really go into hospitals anymore because they were holding so much trauma themselves. So that being referred to as secondary trauma. Right. So I knew that if I was going to look at this program, and what I had decided was it should be a 100-hour program because the first massage programs are 100-hour programs. Mm-hmm. There needed to be a component for processing, yeah. Not venting, but actual processing. Okay. So around that same time, the same woman, Terry Chalky, who had asked me to start teaching with her, I knew she taught a program on peer counseling. And so I was like, I wonder if that would work. Because it wasn't like I wanted to train professional therapists. I definitely didn't want to get into all of that. Right. You know, I was trying to look for a structure. So I went and took the peer counseling course. And very quickly, it was like clear. It's a 30-hour program. I would add 30 hours into the 100, you know, into the other 70. Bada bing, bada boom. It would work out, right? Wow. Yeah, it was like perfect. That's and awesome. It had this holistic perspective. So I was like, okay, great, because that's what I can build on. It was also, it's a tradition. So what it is it's reevaluation counseling, which comes out of Boeing, actually. Some engineers at Boeing, one of them was suicidal. And these three male engineers wanted to come up with a way to address it. Mm. So they created a system called reevaluation counseling. A woman named Amara, who actually lives on the Big Island, which is where I was born, identifies as a Sufi and a witch. Mm. And she got a hold of it, and she sort of started putting her like Sufi witchy stuff in there. Yeah. And then she passed it down to Terry, and then Terry started putting she's got an MSW, like her oppression theory, very strong second wave feminism stuff in there along with her witchy stuff. And then Kristen, who I ultimately took it from, and then Kristen and I co-taught holistic peer counseling for birth for a good long time, added, Kristen is genderqueer, and so we added more of the genderqueer stuff in there, and also has dealt a lot with really deep depression. So there was more of that in there. Mm-hmm. So it's got this like grassrootsy tradition, and eventually it became mine. Eventually it was just clear that it was time for me to start teaching it on my own. And what my version of it is very body focused. Wow. I mean, it just makes sense because of my background. Like a lot of what I learned is the psyche behaves the same way as the body. So my decades of having my hands on people's bodies just translates really well into how I work with psyches. So I use the body as the tether, like the ground, the presencing, helping people get into their bodies. And of course, what happens is as soon as they start to get into their bodies, whether it's through breath or feeling their feet on the ground or actually being able to imagine what their pelvic floor feels like or wherever, right? There's all these cells in the body, is trauma comes up. And that has been, you know, that'll continue to be an education for everybody that's engaged in it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's really beautiful. Wow. You really created that from, like you're saying, so many different sort of viewpoints and facets and having it be passed down and to just have that come through you. That's pretty amazing. It was definitely time.
Yeah, it was time. Kicking my butt. It's kicking my butt.
Yeah. So, geez, it's like there's so much to ask. I don't know where to start. Well, how are you seeing this, you know, help in birth work? Like, are you training birth workers to be able to listen this way or help people process trauma? Like, just tell us more about that.
So, you know, when I originally created it, my imagination, you know how that is, right? I imagine what it's going to do. And then who shows up to actually take it was I imagined that it was for birth workers.
Okay.
When I originally started creating it, what I had in my mind was that birth workers need a way to clear the trauma of whichever birth they're at so that then they don't take it into the next birth.
Yeah, definitely.
Seemed pretty straightforward to me. It wasn't. It just wasn't. It wasn't as straightforward as I had thought it was going to be.
Kind of like birth.
Exactly. And so, you know, I remember somebody asking me that question once, you know, like, who is taking your peer counseling course? You know, and it was a birthy person. And I was like, yeah, who is taking it? And it wasn't particularly birth workers. And that's not to say that there aren't birth workers who have taken it, but it wasn't like hordes of birth workers like flocked to the work, right?
Right, right. Well, I think that also makes sense. Like, I'm not really surprised by that for a variety of reasons. But anyway.
You know, again, it's one of these things where it's like my mom with her massive amount of experience is there going, oh yeah, we totally need this. We totally need this, right? But that's very different than the person who, for instance, just popped out of their doula training.
Yeah.
Right? It's like, I often hold on to what Christian Northrup said in the Ecstatic Birth Telesummit, which was, it's never crowded at the beginning of a movement.
I mean, that's so true. I think anything or creation that asks people to, you know, look at themselves and to do work is never, you know, the easiest thing for a large group of people to do. That's just the way it works.
Which again is the culture shock I was talking to you about, because that's what I grew up in the middle, right? I mean, I grew up in a massage school, going to an ashram, performing in the theater. Yeah. Like, it was all about everything I was about and around were people trying to become more aware of who they were and how they were going to express themselves out in the world. So I didn't quite understand. Yeah, I think it was actually at 19, my husband looked at me and said, Nicole, not everyone wants to know all of that.
Yeah, I think that's perfectly said. And gosh, that's just really cool. I mean, yay for, you know, your ability to have that experience and your mom. I mean, you're right. That's not a common cultural way to see things. But again, just the perfect person to like bring this to the world. So
thanks.
Yeah, that's really cool.
So a couple of things that I wanted to actually say about the peer counseling, because, you know, part of me taking it on to following my mom's footsteps was to also say, what didn't go so well last time, right? Like in the iteration of sex positivity that existed in the 70s, in this, all this language around ego burning that existed, like all the, like, what am I taking from my teachers and what am I then saying, we need to do this better? Yeah. And so some of the things that were really radical in a, I got a lot of healing out of it, and it took some time to wrap my head around about the holistic peer counseling, is A, the peer piece, like to really hold everyone to the autonomy that's involved.
Yeah.
In peer counseling, like there's no hierarchy. Yeah. It's not, you know, you're not turning your psyche over to a professional therapist. You're walking to a peer counselor and saying, I'd like to work on this. Could you help me with it?
Yeah.
And you know the same set of skills that they know. So there's not this like, you know, I don't know this. I don't know what's really happening. I'm just turning myself over to this person and hopefully it works out. Like that's not inherent in the system, right?
Sure.
And then the other piece about it is the community piece. Now, I was in the middle of the 9/11 attacks in New York.
Hey, I was there too.
Were you really?
I was really.
You're the second person that I've done an interview with in this month that when I said that. That's very fascinating.
Where did you live? Not that we're going to get off track here, but just we have to.
I had arrived at One New York Plaza for the first day at a job.
Oh, wow.
And that's what was happening. I lived on the Upper West Side.
Wow. Yeah, we had just moved from the Lower West Side up to the Upper East Side. Mm-hmm. And I was going to music school, actually, right near Columbia at Manhattan School
of Music. Oh, Manhattan School of Music, uh-huh. Sure.
Yep, I was doing grad work there, and my husband was working right down near the UN the day it happened. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, we're all super connected.
There you go.
Yeah.
So I full-on got PTSD from it, and I had used community-based programs to recover. And I had felt the strength in that. So that's the other thing about peer counseling. In the way that I facilitate the peer counseling education is that basically people are counseling all day long in a Facebook group. And so what you get there is when people are brave enough to show you their recovery, mm-hmm. a little piece of you gets to recover.
Yeah.
Which is very different than an isolated one-on-one session that no one else sees, right?
Sure.
So those two pieces, I would say, you know, again, it's like doing it slightly different than how I would say the adults around me were doing it when I was growing up.
Right.
And phenomenally potent, phenomenally potent.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, obviously, my brain is totally thinking about birth in the same way lately. And, you know, I just said this morning to a friend that community is really all we need. You know, I was thinking of Michel Odon and even the way he says he would bring people together for meals. And, you know, sometimes it just seems like that's the simplest answer. Like, we don't need anything else. We just need each other. We just need to know that no one is alone and we're all experiencing like variations of the same thing. Mm-hmm. So just really cool timing that you're talking about exactly the same thing in this way.
Yeah. Yeah. It seems to me that, you know, and I think again, some of this is cultural, like growing up in Hawaii. So we got married in Hawaii and like 25 people from the East Coast who had never been to Hawaii came to our wedding. Yeah. And one of them who is from, she's from Chapel Hill. After her first day there, she looked at me and she went, "You make so much more sense now, Nicole." And I was like, "Really? Why is that?" And she said, "From the time that the bellhop got my bags till the time I was at my door, I had heard his entire life story."
Oh my gosh, that's funny.
And why I bring that up is because what I'm seeing in the community building are a number of different things. One is, people's intimacy, there are a lot of triggers around intimacy.
Yeah.
In the sex ed world, that's sort of my main thing is, you know, we teach sex, intimacy, and relationship, and I'm like the intimacy person.
Yeah.
And then the other thing that's happening, right, is like as we become a global, as the world becomes more global, we have like cultural norms that really get challenged.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like you're not just like the 25 people that have been in your village for all of this time together that with all your customs and norms and, you know, oh, I'm offended because that person broke that cultural expectation.
Right.
So as we all start to come together, it really puts a demand on this ability to stay conscious about our triggers that are getting in the way of that kind of community building happening, basically.
Yeah, gosh, that's so important. Well, I'm going to share with everybody how I had my brief experience with your counseling program, just because I think it's relevant to, you know, how we got together to talk about it today. Mm-hmm. And I don't know that I even really told you what happened, but, you know, on Facebook, which is a community, whether we love mm-hmm. it or hate it, it definitely is. And, you know, I personally have been really grateful for a lot of that community. So in the last couple months, when I was awaiting this miscarriage, somebody who I didn't know at all, I don't even know if we were actual Facebook friends yet, sent me a message and said, "Hey, I've done this peer counseling and I'd love to just listen or whatever you need." And it was very genuine and sincere. And that might sound weird, you know, to some people, like when you don't even know someone, but I was really needing that. And I was really open to sharing. And all I said to her was, I just didn't want anyone to tell me what to do. Like, that was all I asked of her. Mm-hmm. And I have to say, I mean, and I'm giving you like at least 50% of the credit for her ability. It's like almost going to make me cry. Like, her ability to hold space by Facebook message, I'll have you know. Mm-hmm. Her amazing ability to hold space and to really listen and to just reflect to me what I was feeling. Definitely some of the body awareness that you were talking about. Mm-hmm. And so I'm not pretending to know the depths of this program. I'm saying that actually, with very little exposure, I found this to be just amazing and helpful. And this woman had such and has such a beautiful heart. But you were able to bring that out in her, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. So that's mm-hmm. my personal testimony mm-hmm. to your program. and yeah, I just wanted to tell you how beautiful and sacred that was.
It makes me very happy.
Yeah, that's, you know, I think sometimes our best work is done through our teachings, you know, and that's evidence of that.
Yeah, that's great. I don't really, you know, you kind of like work with people and then you don't always know what they're going to go out and do with it.
Yeah, I know, you never do know. But along those lines of community, I guess I was wondering, you know, my experience was in that online community, which again was awesome and I valued. But if someone takes this training, as I know I would like to do, is there sort of some guidance in, it sounds so ridiculous, like connecting in a more community way, like actually where we are, because that's part of your blood. Mm-hmm. And I'm feeling like, you know, that's a struggle for me a lot of days.
You mean in the flesh?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, is there mm-hmm. sort of help and training with how to bring this to like real life people? And like, what part of the training, you know, do you feel addresses that?
So the training itself actually had to morph into a correspondence training the day somebody in Australia asked me to take it.
Hey, that's great.
Yeah. I was for a while there. So it was local to Seattle for a while. And then people outside of Seattle wanted to take it. And so then I started doing it through Google Hangouts. Mm-hmm. And then when this person from Australia contacted me, there was no way I could get a call. ten calls, once a week for 10 weeks that connected Australia, New York, Hawaii, Texas, Wisconsin, sure. wherever everybody was. And I had already been playing around with the correspondence idea anyway. So I moved everything correspondence at that point, which has been an interesting, you know, when I was teaching it in person,
right?
I've had students take it 4 and 5 times, three, four, five times, yeah, right? People take it over and over because it's like, I mean, even anybody listening to this podcast probably will hear me say things and then go, wait, what did she just say? You know?
Well, that's the nature of it, you know?
Yeah, right. So what am I trying to say? So basically, it exists as a correspondence course right now. There's one focused on birth and parenting. There's one focused on the body. And there's one focused on sex.
Okay.
And people can – what's nice is it's rolling registration, right? Anybody can start it at any time.
Yeah.
So because of it being now a global program, of course, a lot of the counseling is happening through videos or phone. And then, like I said, the Facebook group is just constant,
right.
Which has been really handy for parents because it's not So, you know, you can just pop on Facebook and be like, oh my God, I'm so triggered, da 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 da, and just get some attention right away.
Right.
You don't have to wait till your scheduled appointment on Wednesday at 4, you know?
Yeah, totally. That's a really awesome thing.
Yeah. What has also started to happen, you know, I'd love for more of this to happen. Like, I would love to come, for instance, to Sedona, and if there is a group of people that in the flesh want to start it, like, get that to happen. It just hasn't happened yet. Yeah. The first group that's actually happened with is my mom actually is teaching it right now in Hawaii.
Cool.
My mom took it. My mom's my student.
That's really awesome. It's like the coolest thing ever.
So she took it twice.
Yeah.
And then she's been teaching at a newer massage school there. I think it's actually a holistic practitioner school.
Right.
She brought it up to them and they were like, we want it. And so she started teaching it. And so now there's going to be beyond just the smattering of people in Hawaii that have taken it with me.
Yeah.
There will now be her crew of people that have taken it. And that's lovely, right? Because the more people that then they could physically actually get together and counsel. So we do that a little bit. Like, I think there's a couple people in Wisconsin, but I don't know how close they are to each other. And
sure.
You know, obviously Seattle, there's a number of us, there's some people in Portland, but you know, it's one of those things that unless a crew of people in your physical vicinity want to learn it,
right.
Like right now, it's just, that's basically what it is. As a teacher, I'm sort of like, whoever shows up, that's who I'll teach.
Yeah. Well, I think that's kind of what we all have to do, you know, because we're balancing our desire to share what we want to share with what people are actually ready for. So, you know, I agree. I think it's brilliant to have it online and, you know, you reach a lot more people that way, as you said, and then you're just waiting for the invitations should they come for, you know, other groups and areas to kind of wake up to that.
And definitely part of the training is like it's in 12 modules, and in the first 3 modules, I sort of get you ready to even be in the group.
Sure.
And then once you start to get to the point where you know how to counsel even just a little bit, I'm immediately like connecting you with people. And then once you get in the group, then you're sort of in the group with everybody. But certainly part of the training is making sure that people are connecting with each other and starting to get counseling relationships going on.
Basically. Yeah, that's awesome. Gosh, the connection is everything, like we said.
Mm-hmm.
So what sort of, I hate to say results, I don't really mean that. I mean, I gave my testimonial, but like when people are telling you how great that this is, because I know they are, like what sort of specifics are they giving you? Like what is it helping them with or how are they able to support others better? What kind of feedback?
Oh God, so many things.
We don't have time for them all, I'm sure.
Yeah, no. I mean, everything from the nurse practitioner that's taken it a number of times that, you know, she used to be a trauma nurse and she would talk about how like, you know, I mean, whatever we're used to with birth, like go be a trauma nurse in a hospital, right?
Oh gosh, right.
And so to shake off each client, you know, to have the tools to just shake it off so that she can be present for the next patient.
Yeah.
To there's a couple that is doing the work together, and I mean, they've both been sexually abused.
Mm.
It's all there. I mean, they've been working with me for 6 years now.
Oh wow.
So really getting that out of their soma and out of the ways that that's impacting the relationship that they have together and the ways that they're parenting their son. And they've all these people that I'm mentioning have been very open. They actually have testimonials in my book. If you buy the Holistic Peer Counseling textbook, it's all these students have just been incredibly, they also want the work to grow.
Yeah.
And so they've been incredibly forthcoming with their stories. Like I'm going to start crying.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really kind of intense. It's like, you know, to be able to watch people, recover things that they didn't even know were there to recover.
Yeah.
It's pretty phenomenal.
Well, and like you are describing, for them to do that, you know, for this to be an autonomous process, just like we see birth, you know, that's where any healing, I think, can ever come from. It really can't come from anyone else.
No,
so you're allowing people the tools to do that, which is groundbreaking. And I mean, I just, I don't even have words because I know how much this affects our births and our parenting. Yeah. And I know obviously you do, but for people listening, it's just like, oh, it's so not one layer, you know, we're dealing with a big,
and it's really, you know, there's the ways that like I haven't attended a birth in a while. And so sometimes I'm like, you know, just looking at the terrain of my like quote unquote professional life.
Sure.
But to be able to work with somebody and reference their birth and reference their sexual material and reference, you know what I mean? For it all to be a scope of comfort for me and a scope of knowledge, and for them to have that access to that kind of scope and knowledge, so we're not so compartmentalized like so much of medicine does nowadays.
Sure.
Has its own potency.
Yeah.
For sure. And I will say, we are not an avoid the trigger program.
Oh, funny. Well, I'm on that page with you for sure. So even better.
Yeah. Just in case anybody listening is wondering.
Yeah. Totally with you on that. I love it. I love the idea of facing these things and having support. And, you know, my obvious sort of bend on it is similar to what you just said, which is for birth workers. Yeah, they're attending births, but what about all these other things? You know, why are we not looking at those? Why we haven't been trained to look at those things? Okay. Mm-hmm. But here you are with this amazing program. And, you know, even though I haven't taken it yet, I definitely want people to take it. You know, I want the birth workers and midwives listening and just people in general to like have this tool available to them, because it's needed. And although we can't solve these things for people, we can be these counselors, so to speak.
Yeah, just even what you're saying, like I was thinking about this doula recently that she's taken everything that I've ever taught multiple times. And she was working, she was at a prenatal visit. Yeah. And she basically was laughing at herself for wanting to, you know, address the things in her prenatal visit that she imagined she would address. Mm-hmm. Because what was very clearly happening is that their relationship needed some attention.
Yeah.
And that's what she said. She was like, your sex, intimacy, and relationship work should be stuff for birth workers, because there it was. I'm right in the middle of their home and they're having this big relationship blow up. And the reason I have the tools to help them with it is not from any of my birthy training. It's from the peer counseling and the sex, intimacy, and relationship work.
Yeah. Yeah. Gosh, well said. I don't think there's a better testimonial than that.
Right. Actually. And I'm like, great, cool. I'll just keep doing it.
Yeah. Well, it's, to me, you know, nothing's easy or simple, but I think this is a great, obviously a great resource and sort of answer to the fact that many midwives, and I'm sure doulas, kind of don't know how to deal with some of this stuff. I mean, I certainly have moments, you know, where things like that come up and I sort of don't feel like qualified to,
right.
Yeah. So, you know, that's where we're at. If birth was just birth, it would be way more simple than it is.
Right.
But it's not. It's about a whole birth
or just birth. If life was just life.
I know. It's just life already.
So funny.
So tell me how you kind of dream, you know, this getting out there. Let's kind of wrap up with that. You know, obviously this is a great program. I'll admit I hadn't heard about it at all until this woman approached me. I'm so glad she did. Mm-hmm. So I hope this kind of helps get the word out. But what's your dream for this program? Like, how can people help get the word out?
I mean, take it mostly.
Yeah, take it.
Because it is exactly what happened with you. You know, I mean, and I think that that's probably part of why you haven't heard about it is because I don't.
Sure.
I mean, I've written in Squat and I've written blogs and I send things out, but my style is more. My focus is always on the work and on the growth that's coming from the work, less than it's on, look, a program. Ooh, look, a program. Because I want the people to come and take it that are ready. You know, this is more and more of what I'm getting clear on is, if you want to do the work, come and do the work.
You'll show up.
Do the work. Yeah. If you want a certification, don't come into my program. Because I don't it doesn't work. It hasn't worked out for anybody that's tried it. They all end up not doing it. So, you know, I'm still learning, but of course, I mean, you know, things like what just happened to you, that's what I want to happen. Yeah. I want to help more people be able to support this kind of presence and healing and autonomy and power and beauty that we're trying to generate. Yeah. And that means doing a lot of really intense work.
Sure, sure. And you are doing it. So I wanted to be clear about that. I wasn't, you know, insinuating anything was lacking, because I agree with you. And I think the work that we do is similar. The right people show up. They show up when they're ready, when it's time. Right. And it's, I think we have more integrity when we hold the space of what we're doing and what we believe in, rather than, like you're saying, you know, you're not trying to attract the masses. You're simply holding the space for the people that are ready. Mm-hmm. And those are two completely different ways.
Yeah. Good.
You know,
well put. Yeah.
One
exactly.
One is inward and one is outward. Mm-hmm. And there's nothing, yeah, there's nothing wrong with either, but I can feel what you mean is what I'm
saying. I mean, I think part of it too is, like I said before, is I'm still learning how radically different this looking at the world this way is for people.
Sure.
And so I'm still learning how much work it is in that way. It's like, I sort of, when I first thought of it all, was like, oh, look, everybody should do this. And little by little, I'm getting more to, yeah, don't show up unless you're really.
Yeah. Well, because you're living it. I mean, I don't think there's a better testimonial to anyone's course or work than somebody that's living it. And like you're saying, this is life, you know, this is the hard stuff that most people turn away from. Right. So yeah, there's nothing really that needs to be done, but I'm happy to have had you here today and just have more people that I think are probably ready and open to this sort of thing knowing about it. That certainly can't hurt.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
You're so welcome. I'm so looking forward to doing it myself and hopefully just working some more with you. I really, I see the connections, you know, and there's so many more than I can even see. And I'm grateful to you for doing what you do.
Oh, thank you, Maren. I feel the same about you.
Yeah. Well, thanks. Okay. Well, more to come with Nicole, I'm sure, but we'll wrap it up today with her holistic peer counseling. And if I didn't already say, holisticpeercounseling.com. Nicole also has her own website by her name. So it's NECOLESHAPIRO, NicoleShapiro.com. Please contact her, look at her work, and do what you are called to do, just as she is doing. Yeah. So thanks everybody for joining us today. Check the Indie Birth website for the latest. We do have a workshop coming up here in Sedona in June, as well as our Wise Women Circle, which has been very well received. Monthly phone calls with experts in every part of the birth world, such as Nicole, that I think you will enjoy. And that's indiebirth.com/circle. Thanks again. Have a great day.